Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week, we have a brand spanking new top five for you, Steve. What is that top five?
We will be counting down our favorite damsels in distress. Oh!
Steve.
Excuse me, I'm in distress.
But we have a lot to get to, Steve, so let's start the show.
So, Wesley.
Yes.
Despite your beliefs, I'm playing a game and I actually am enjoying myself, and that would be Mirror's Edge.
I don't believe it.
Well, believe it.
I will not. This
okay.
is Stephen's Believe It or Not, and I choose not.
I actually am enjoying it.
How can you? This game is nothing but running and jumping.
Yeah, but it's not Prince of Persia jumping and like
just thinking that.
Assassin's Creed jumping.
Yeah.
Where it's like grab this ledge and then swing and jump and you missed and you fell down and you're dead. Since it's in the first person mode, it feels a lot more like a chase game to me.
Sure.
Than it does a jumping game.
Okay.
And there's something kind of like the Batman free flow combat system of trying to like jump the wall, slide down, grab the, like it, try to make it click and seem smooth and together. It's a good challenge. You just want to like feel cool while you're doing it. Like same thing when you're like fighting with Batman. You want to like, yeah, I killed all you bitches. Didn't touch me.
Sure, sure.
So because of those things, I don't really think of it as a jumping game.
Okay, okay. How far are you in it?
I think I'm like chapter 3 or something. I'm not playing.
Oh, sir.
I'm not playing. I haven't played it a ton, but sure. I have dabbled with it, and I'm enjoying my time thus far.
Sure, sure. Okay, it's kind of like a drug. Like you try a little bit of it.
Yeah, I've smoked the weed of Mirror's Edge, and
now you're hooked.
I am now doing heroin. Not Mirror's Edge heroin, just straight up heroin.
Wow, sir. Well, your life has gone down the pooper.
Sure has. Thanks, Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, well, just wait, because you know how there's that hint button where you press it and it'll tell you where to go?
Yeah.
That button just stops working sometimes in the later chapters. At least it did for me.
Yeah, there's a few moments when I was running and I got like to the top of the staircase. It's like, I don't see where to go.
Yep.
I'm just looking like, up to one wall, next to the next wall, and then I just get mowed down by bullets. It's like, well, to be honest, if I were really in this situation, that's probably what would happen.
Of course.
But how anticlimactic.
But if you were in third person, your character would look just like, I don't know, like a moth trapped in a jar. And then the moth would be ripped apart by bullets.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So I'm enjoying my brief time thus far with Mirror's Edge.
Well, sir, I am enjoying the shit out of Prototype 2.
Yeah?
Open world game. Super overpowered, and you're just wrecking shit and blowing shit up.
Sounds like your kind of game.
I love it, man.
Are there collectibles?
Oh, there are so many collectibles.
That's perfect.
It's great, dude. I think you'd really like it, too.
Okay.
You might be too overpowered for your taste.
Yeah, I like a little bit of a challenge.
There's some challenges here and there. I just like being a god and wreaking havoc. What's so wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that, man. Nothing wrong with it.
Stop looking at me like you're judging me.
Who am I to judge a god like you, Wes?
That's right.
Who am I but a mere mortal?
Yeah. So that's all I've been playing, man.
So I know everyone has had their read more than enough about the Academy Award recap and that sort of thing.
I thought you were going to say, I know everyone has had their fill of us. But
so goodbye. But I was able to watch 6 of the 8 Best Picture nominees before the Oscars this last week.
Sure.
And I know you have not seen many of them, but
I'm sorry, did you say many or any?
Yeah, I'm trying to not make you seem totally not with it. But Eddie Redmayne.
Everybody knows. I'm totally not with it.
Eddie Redmayne won Best Actor for his portrayal of Stephen Hawking in The Theory of Everything.
Yes.
I saw the movie. Physically, acting wise, he was unbelievable.
Sure.
And I can't think of a better performance right off the top of my head.
Sure.
But I didn't want him to win going into the Oscars because I'm kind of sick of biopic actors always winning awards and being so regarded.
Sure.
So what is your thought on biopic pictures, if you will?
I mean, I don't really think about them either way. I mean, if they're good, great. But I don't know. If you're going to make a biopic picture, I want it to be true to life. You know what I mean? Because I feel like a lot of biopics nowadays, they kind of sugarcoat a lot of things.
Embellish
especially
a few things. Or...
Yeah, yeah. Especially if, you know, the person is still alive.
Sure.
As well. So, I mean, if they're good, they're good. If they're not, whatever.
As I feel like you should be, I feel like the Academy and other awards and whatnot are rewarding people for a really good impression in a way.
Sure.
As opposed to building a character from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, part of me feels like that's kind of cheating in a
sure.
way.
Sure. It's like they're just creating a fax of the... of the original character.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, well, obviously this guy deserves the Oscar because, look, he played this real person just like the real person.
Look how close he was to the real person.
Give him the gold star.
And I get how difficult that is, but I feel like they benefit from the from essentially having a measuring stick, and the measuring stick being the real person.
Mm-hmm.
So you can... it's easier to like quantify the greatness of it in a way where like, oh, look, like if the real person is a 10, this guy, I mean, look how amazing this guy, he was so close. He's like a 9.8. Like that's great. But like when you are creating a character, like I know you haven't seen it, but, Daniel Day-Lewis's character from There Will Be Blood.
Sure.
Like that. You don't have anything to compare it to necessarily. It's, you just have to, you have to judge that creation that they've made.
That's interesting. It's almost like, say, if there was a movie of the play of Mice and Men, and the lead actor...
There, you mean If?
Or whatever. Has there been a movie?
Yeah, dude. John Malkovich is in it.
Great.
And Gary Sinise is in it.
Great. But, okay, so let's say, who played Lenny?
Malkovich.
Okay, say if Malkovich went to see a play of Mice and Men, and he just based his performance... on that person's performance.
Sure.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like it's kind of... I mean, if you watch The Theory of Everything, Eddie Redmayne is... he's fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic. There's... and I didn't want him to not win due to his performance. It was just more of a stance on biopics as a whole. Because most... I think almost everybody nominated this year was a biopic. Benedict Cumberbatch was the guy that broke the Enigma code, I can't think of his name off the top of my
Turing.
Head.
Turing.
Yeah, Alan Turing, thank you. That was a replication, if you
sure.
will. And quite honestly, Michael Keaton's character is kind of a, you know, a biopic of himself, is really what it is.
Whoa.
Weird meta.
So meta.
That movie is ultra meta.
Holy
it
crap.
Is super meta. That's probably why it won Best Picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like most... and. Over the last couple of years, there's been so many. Jamie Foxx for Ray and Forest Whitaker for the Idi Amin for The Last King of Scotland. It's all these, like, yeah, it's good. I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying I think you should get more credit for creating a character from the ground up. That's
Steve, why do you hate everything?
It's just easier. Dude, it's
you know
so
what?
Weird.
It's, you know what? I see that because now you have the power because everything now needs to impress you. I get what you're doing.
Yeah.
You hold all the power.
You know what's so weird, man, is I find when I'm here and I'm talking about movies and film and video games and stuff, I have a very critical eye and you know, for these things. But when I'm talking about people in real life, like people that I know or are, you know, 2 degrees away from someone, I always give them the benefit of the doubt, man.
Sure.
I always do. Unless for some reason they've proven that they do not deserve to have it. I always do.
Are we talking about real people in real life?
Real people, man. Yeah. Like, if you were to tell me, yeah, this guy at work, you know, he came in, he's in such a bad, like, he's just such a dick and this, whatever. And, like, I was like, yeah, well, you know, everyone has a bad day. And, you know, like, that's my demeanor for most people. Or to sympathize, you'd be like, oh, man, that sucks. He sounds like a real a-hole. But if you lay something out for this guy, it's like, why would he do that? I naturally would be like, hey, you don't know what happened that morning. You know, maybe he got in a fight with his wife or something on his way to work, and he was just ramped. I mean, give the guy a break. That's how my natural disposition has turned to be somehow. But then as soon as I like, that movie sucked.
It's like, see, maybe the editor had a bad day that
day. That movie sucked.
Maybe the director, you know.
Boo.
Maybe the actors and directors didn't really
talk.
They
are terrible.
This is. Let me tell you about this guy at work who's just a big old dickhole, right?
You know what? Maybe he had a bad day.
God damn it, Steve.
Maybe he just watched that terrible movie that we just watched.
Oh, Steve.
It's weird. And I think part of the reason is a movie and a video game has so many people that need to sign off on stuff before it gets out.
Sure.
Like, if that sucks, that's on you guys. You made it suck.
Sure.
You did.
Sure.
Everyone has bad moments.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
We're having one right now.
Yeah.
God, this is awful.
You suck, Wes.
You suck, Steve.
You're worse. You're terrible.
Well, Steve, speaking of good moments, because I know we were speaking of bad moments, but. We're going to move to the good moments.
Because I got another bad moment for you in a minute.
Oh, good. Let me break up this bad moment train. I had a great experience with customer service.
Certainly not dealing with Comcast, that's for sure.
No. God, no. I had to deal with Amazon customer service.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm serious.
Oh, yeah. They were great.
Yep.
They said that I ordered a couple things. They said that they were both delivered. One was not. I called him up. I was on hold for 30 seconds.
Oh, my 30 God.
30 seconds. And they were like, hey, how can I help you? Explain the situation. Like, great. We'll have a replacement for you tomorrow.
Dude.
And it was there tomorrow.
That's one of the benefits of let me rephrase that. I love shopping locally, small business. Love to support that.
Sure.
But one
sure.
of the real benefits of a multi-billion dollar corporation like Amazon is they know whatever the hell it is that you just bought, it is way more important for you to just continue to be an Amazon customer than it is for the $30 bag of dog food or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever the hell it is. So like, yes, sir. Absolutely. Let's make you happy so you always buy things on our website.
And you know what? I'm going to continue buying shit on their website.
And they're one of the companies that are so big and they still have good customer service, whereas like a Walmart or something, like, you know you're going to shop here anyway. Fuck you. Great. Thanks.
Thanks. Excuse me, where are the raisins? Go to hell! Thank you.
Great. Just great.
Great.
Speaking of great things.
Oh boy.
And actually doing what you did, not great things.
Oh boy, today must be opposite day.
I hated that as a kid.
I fucking hated that, man.
Hated the idea of opposite day. It's like, you don't like Jenny, do you? No, I don't like Jenny. It's opposite day. You love her.
I'm going to go tell her right now.
It's like, what are you going to don't you tell Jenny I love her. Don't you tell her that.
And the next time you see them, they're all pointing and laughing at you. Like, God damn it.
But wait, if you told Jenny I love her, then did you actually tell her I don't love her? Because it is opposite day. So if you told her I love her, then you actually told her the truth, you bitch.
But that logic never works. I'm like, you're stupid. But today's opposite day.
Your epidermis is showing. Fuck you, Jenny. I don't even know what an epidermis is.
Did you, speaking of childhood shit, did you ever fall for the Pen 15 Club?
Never. I saw it happen to someone next to me. And it was an immediate, like, writing on my hard drive of a brain. I was like, never, ever be part of the Pen 15 Club. It became like my very first redundant safety feature in my brain. Like,
wow. Someone asked you, like, self-defenses, activate. Just deck them in the nose.
It's like when I get into the car. All right, seatbelt on. Good. Keys in. Good. Am I part of the Pen 15 Club? No. Turn the car on and begin driving. But the bad news. So one of the most anticipated games for our next-gen systems came out in the last week.
Yeah.
And that is The Order 1887.
1886.
Whatever. Because guess what? A 6 is closer to the rating it's getting by everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
So yet again, another AAA big time supposed to be blockbuster game on this generation systems falling essentially flat on its face.
Yeah. Isn't that awful?
It's bad, man.
Yeah.
It is bad.
And what I'm hearing the single player campaign is super short.
Super short.
And that's the only thing that it comes with. There's no multiplayer.
Right.
There's nothing. It's a very linear story. There's not really much else to do but and play there, the story.
And there was someone released a video maybe like a week before it came out that they could play through the game in four or five hours. They like kind of sped through it.
Yeah.
And the internet went abuzz with this, oh my God, you spend $60 on a game, it's only 5 hours. And
$60!
And there was a good discussion between people of, you know what, I would rather have a 6 hour, let's 7 hour, I'll take my time, whatever, a 7 hour game that is good, like really good, than a game that's 20 hours and I have to grind through, you know, crappy levels and upgrading stuff. And
fetch quests. And
yeah, yeah. And so I was like, you know what, this is a good discussion to have, great. Then the game came out, like, oh yeah, the game sucks though. This game is not good. It's short and shitty.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that there's that's very heavy on the story and the cutscenes. Not really, especially in the beginning, really light on the actual gameplay.
Yeah, and they're not interactive cutscenes or anything. You know, it's just you sit there and watch these videos.
It's like, great, I'm playing a Telltale game at this point.
But a shitty Telltale game.
Oh, yeah.
So far, Watch Dogs, boo. For me personally, Destiny, boo. I know other people, some people dig it, but at best, it's a mixed bag, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
The Order, boo.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a bunch of boos.
Sure, sure.
And not a whole lot of yays.
I know. I mean, Far Cry 4, I've heard, like, yeah, great, it's another Far Cry game, but
that good.
20 hour or whatever campaign is just really just stretched out with a bunch of what I was talking about, fetch quests and
little side whatever things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it's really, that's just like fat that they put on there. It's not meat on the bone.
No, that's gristle.
That's just gristle, baby. You got a little gristle.
You got to chew through it. You have to choke it down just to get to the next good piece.
You got to, you know, you want a little bit of fat on there. Gives everything a little bit of flavor.
Yeah.
You want a little bit.
Yeah, put it right on your hips. Yeah.
It's good. It's good. Brings it all together.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I don't want that gristle.
No.
Baby, keep your gristle away from me.
Keep your stupid gristle.
But what the Order has given us is just like gross horse meat. It's very, very lean and it's bad.
It's old. It's like kind of sketchy. It might be too old.
Like, is this meat? What is this? So, but with that, as a glimmer of hope, I did watch there was a new video today, a new trailer for Arkham Knight that came out today. And I got to tell you, man, it's coming out in June 2nd, I believe, is the day it's coming out.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to it. I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Sure.
Whew. And, baby, if that is a triple-A disaster like these other ones have been, I'm going to be pretty upset.
Okay, what if both Arkham Knight and Uncharted 4 are just disasters? Oh, Steve, I broke you.
Honestly, then I think this entire generation is completely up for grabs. Like, I think it could be a really bad generation of systems.
Sure.
I really do.
It's like the video game developers are really trying to figure out what to do with all this extra power. And I don't know. Like, the PlayStation 3 had a bunch of great games.
Yeah, tons. Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't know, man. This kind of sucks.
I feel like they're really struggling to find the foothold with it. And there's always that beginning of the system trying to figure out how to optimize the system. That always happens.
Sure,
always happens. But it's not. I feel like we're not seeing bold artistic choices being made. We are that are somewhat limited by their understanding of the system.
Mm-hmm.
We're just seeing crappy efforts right now, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that's the part that upsets me.
Steve, you look really upset.
I am kind of upset, man.
That sucks, man.
Because it's not like the PS4 came out last Christmas and the Xbox One came out last Christmas. They've been out for a year and it's like a year and a half now almost.
But Steve, you know, the video game developers, you know, maybe they had a really bad day and maybe the creative consultants, you know.
No! No! This is terrible! They're awful!
Well, thank God it's opposite day!
Don't you... Jenny! Jenny, you bitch! Make me a good video game! And this is not opposite day! I mean that! Jedi!
Oh, dude. I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
It sucks for everybody that owns these systems that are not getting quality games.
Sure.
We talked about it last week, but the best games out right now are quote-unquote remasters of games around the PS3.
Sure.
And essentially, Far Cry 4 is just an updated version, from what I understand, of like Far Cry 3.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Same gameplay, different story.
Yeah. I mean, I demand better. I really do.
Okay.
I'm really kind of... I haven't played my PS4 in a little while. I'm like, I don't know what to play it for. There's nothing to play.
Sure.
Kind of disappointing. But anyway.
I'm sorry, man.
Hopefully.
Was Shadow of Mordor for you, was that good?
Shadow of Mordor was fun.
There.
Again, though, as I mentioned, just a conglomerate of, you know, four different games put into one that are very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun, but it's not... You know, it's not representative game of a new system. Like, yeah, and we got Shadow of Mordor. Like, no. Dude, no. You are standing on the backs of giants and, you know, trying to reach new heights that you're not achieving. So,
sure.
Yeah. No. It's a fun game, but it's not something that will go down as, like, best games in PS4 history. Oh, Shadow of Mordor.
Sure. It's not system defining.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, man.
So if you've got a new system and if you want to try to bring a little light to this situation, please write us in. Let us know.
Yeah, if there's like if there's not a AAA level game out there that is super duper good that we just haven't heard of, please write us in.
Absolutely.
Well, Steve, let's stop talking about terrible things and let's start looking toward the future. Let's start looking at our top five for the week, which is what, Steve?
It is going to be our top five damsels in distress.
Oh, Steve.
Oh, my.
I want to save you right now.
Wesley!
You're my number one. Yes, sir. Yes, this is our top five damsels in distress. Steve, I'm interested. What criteria did you use when you made this list? Because we have done our top five female characters before.
Oh, yeah, very different.
Very different.
Very different. A female character must be female and a character.
Ooh, man, there's not a lot
out there. A damsel in distress must be, one, a damsel.
Okay.
Which actually the definition is a young unmarried woman is technically what the definition is.
Oh boy.
But I'm not using that definition.
Sure.
To me, a damsel is just a young lady. That is, she's found herself in some trouble.
That's right.
I'm a little on the fence about like stronger characters. To me, a damsel in distress is a woman that in many ways is unable to save herself and requires the help of somebody else.
See, I went the opposite direction, because I, at least four
because
out of my
you
five.
You don't understand words.
No, I don't. English is my fourth language.
And you do a very good job.
Thank you. Four out of my five characters, and maybe arguably my fifth one as well, are very strong characters. But they were in distress, and a male did come to save them. So
basically your judging criteria is a man saves you.
Yes.
To be a damsel in distress.
Yes, but they had to be strong characters. I don't want a whining woman. Let her be in distress.
Isn't that what a damsel in distress, like, classic damsel in distress is like the woman tied up on the train tracks. That's a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
The princess in the tower waiting for the knight to come and save her.
Steve, you and your old-fashioned views. You know women have the right to vote nowadays, right?
That's just not true. Keep dreaming, Wes.
Okay.
Sure. The next you're going to tell me they can drive cars. And wear pants.
You're also going to tell me that they're going to break through that glass ceiling that we painstakingly put over them.
This is not a judgment of women characters. When I say damsel in distress, I think of a woman that is unable to save herself and requires the help of a strong man. I'm thinking of it in a more fairy tale-ish type sense.
Okay.
Slightly modernized, but that's my criteria.
Okay, well, let's get on with it. Let's give me your number five.
Let's. Well,
I don't understand pronouns.
Again, it is your fourth thing, so
that's right.
Who can blame you? My number four is going to be...
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. English is actually my ninth numerical language. So,
all right, so you're numero cinco.
I'm working on the metric system. My number five, excuse me, is going to be Jamie Lee Curtis from True Lies. Her character's name, Helen Tasker.
Okay.
So, again, she, you know, she mans up, if you will, towards the end.
I about broke into song. Continue.
You got to burn up! For those who don't know, it's a Book of Mormon reference. And by the way, Book of Mormon came back today
okay.
in Chicago. So there you go.
Thank you.
Anyway, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, she is the stay-at-home mom, big nerdy glasses, and gets sucked into this world of espionage and intrigue
okay.
and becomes at first an unwilling participant in this spy game, essentially, with her husband, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who she does not know is a spy.
Mm-hmm.
So she's very uncomfortable trying to get through. And there is a fantastic damsel in distress moment where she is in the top of a window, or like the sunroof of a limousine, while it's about to go off a bridge. Mm-hmm. And her husband, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is hanging off a helicopter and grabs her out of the limo as it falls and explodes.
Wow.
Very damsel in distressy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she has a really nice kind of awkward, like, soccer mom trying to be this sexy woman comedy thing going on with it as well.
Sure, sure.
And she's up against a madman,
mm-hmm.
just a terrorist dude from the Middle East, a stereotypical dude, and she's in some real trouble.
Would you say that she's in distress?
I would say she is distressed.
Oh, my.
And so it becomes a story of her also figuring out her husband is this spy and how she fits into this brand new world, that her world is no longer her own sort of deal.
Sure.
Plus, she has the striptease scene, which when I was, I don't know, 11, was the best. Oh, my God. It's the best.
Steve, you're going to hate me. I've never seen True Lies.
God, I fucking hate you.
Oh, God.
Why?
I've never had the gumption to go out and
I have and told you about this movie at least four times.
You're right. And the fifth time, I still won't go see it.
God, it's possibly one of the best action movies ever, period.
Will you loan me a copy?
No, because I don't have it.
Well, then we're at an impasse, aren't we?
No, we're not. It's not like you cannot get this movie.
I'm sorry.
You're the worst. You are the worst. Oh, that's my number five.
All right, well, my number five is a real damsel in distress.
It's from Community.
I'm going to punch you in the face because it is from Community. No, you mentioned a phrase earlier on. You mentioned the phrase fairy tale.
Yes.
This damsel in distress is Princess Buttercup from The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Just the epitome of a damsel in distress.
I agree.
Beautiful. Glowing in a fairy tale adventure, and the hero's name that must go save her is Wesley. Thank you.
Just for the record, if she is the epitome of a damsel in distress, why is she not your number one?
Because she's not that strong of a character.
Right, but she is the epitome of a damsel in distress.
Well, Steve, as I mentioned before, English is my fourth language. So
I think Princess Buttercup is a fantastic, fantastic call. Because as you said,
yes,
fairy tale. She's locked up in a tower.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
With her long flowing hair.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Classic beauty.
Glows, and then it ends on a kiss when he saves her multiple times.
Yes.
From the evil prince.
Yeah.
Yes.
Classic damsel in distress.
That's my pick.
It's a very strong pick, Wes.
Thank you.
I look forward to ruining your list in the next four picks.
Yep.
So my number four, a movie that just goes way underrated, because what a great fun movie The Mummy is.
Okay.
So I'm taking Evie from The Mummy. What is her name?
That's Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz. Thank you. She's just a good looking lady, first off.
And that accent of hers.
And that accent, man.
Oh, boy.
And she plays, again, she's got the kind of quirky damsel in distress in the way that
sure.
she's got a sense of humor.
Sure.
She's more of a cute damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. But I also like that the story is not in, she's not in a castle tower. She is not.
Sure.
It's, oh no, the mummy needs you to basically steal your body to come back to life. It's like, oh no.
Yep.
That classic story. But man, how good is the mummy?
You know what? That movie is a lot of fun.
It's a fun, again, we're not talking films.
No.
We're talking movies.
Now, let me see. Now, okay, what was the sequel? Is that The Mummy Returns?
Returns, correct.
Okay, was that any good?
Yeah, Returns is fun.
I can't remember. Okay, and then the third one was Scorpion King. Which
less
was
fun.
A sack of shit.
Less fun.
It's like that horse meat we talked about. Just awful. It's terrible.
But I think Rachel Weisz is very, very cute, very endearing. Good sense of humor, good repartee. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Not yes.
Repertoire.
No, not...
The back and forth. Is that not
repercussion?
No, repercussion. She has very good repercussions.
Repartee, yes.
With Mr. Brandon Fraser, one of the greatest actors of our time.
Oh my God, yes. One of
the greatest actors of our time.
And the Oscar goes to...
Brandon Fraser.
For The Mummy.
For Encino Man.
Oh no.
For Monkey Bone.
For Journey to the Center of the Earth.
They're fun. She's very attractive, but not super sexualized.
Yes.
And there's something really fun about running through this pyramid full of these horrors, I suppose. But none of them seemed too awful, I suppose. They all seemed like they could get past them. But
sure.
Strong enough, funny enough. So, Evie from The Mummy, I just want her to be on whatever expedition I'm going on. I want her to be there.
Sure. Just to look at.
You know what? I feel like she could be the romantic interest as well as just like the friend.
Sure.
Just a fun friend.
The quirky friend.
Yeah, absolutely. That falls in love with your best friend sort of deal.
Yeah, and you're left alone.
I'm assuming I'm with my wife.
So. No. Oh, well, okay.
I'm married now, Wes, and I'm 30. I always imagine myself with my wife wherever I go.
Does she listen to this podcast?
Never. She hates me.
That's right. All right, man. Well, my number four is from the show Gallivant. And
wow.
Yeah.
You're going a show that's been out for like a month.
You're absolutely welcome.
Okay.
I'm kind of cheating a little bit because I'm going to talk about two people from Gallivant.
All right.
The first episode of Gallivant, you assume the damsel in distress is going to be Madalena because Gallivant and Madalena had a great relationship, having sex all the time,
good
deeply
for them.
In love, passionate, hot, steamy. But then the evil prince comes along and whisks her away to be married to him, forcibly married. So Gallivant, he rushes into the castle right on their wedding day. He slays the guards. He said, Madalena, the prince, you can give her money and riches, but you can never give her what she really wants, and that is true love. And Madalena says, you know what, actually? I'll take the money and the riches.
It's ooh. Like,
whoa! So that was hilarious and awesome, and I just want to mention that. But the real damsel in distress is Princess Isabella Maria Lucia Elisabetta of Valencia.
It's a good name.
Yep. Let me say that again. Princess Isabella Maria Lucia Elisabetta of Valencia.
Again, you just went through your first three languages in that name.
Yep.
So no excuses.
Super sassy, a great repartee with Gallivant, and a wonderful singing voice to boot.
Oh, there you go. And that's it. That's all you needed to say.
Yes. Exotic looking and able to hold her own. She trains Gallivant.
Wait, you say exotic. Exotic in what region of the world are we getting exotic?
I automatically think of Jasmine.
Oh, okay. So it's more like a Middle Eastern-ish, mm-hmm. like Turk-ish
sure.
somewhere area?
Sure, sure.
Okay.
But she's able to hold her own. She actually trains Gallivant back into fighting shape.
Was there a montage?
There was a montage.
We need a montage!
Yeah, man. And I really recommend, if anybody loves comedies or musicals, especially both put together, I really recommend Gallivant. It's 8 episodes long.
Okay. So. Is it done now?
It's done.
All right.
There will hopefully be a second season.
And can I get her name? Un mas time?
Sure. Here it is. Princess Isabella Maria Lucia Elisabetta Valencia.
Nice.
Yes, you're welcome.
Very nice. I dig it. Okay, you know what? You kind of piqued my interest on Gallivant a little bit there.
Thank you, sir.
For once in my life, I will not lie to you. Number three.
Is today opposite day?
Jenny! Number three. One of my all-time heartthrobs. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
John Stamos. No. I'm going Cameron Diaz from The Mask.
Interesting. All right.
A little more modern twist on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But as we've talked about before, Cameron Diaz walking out in that red dress for the first time.
Oof.
One of the all-time hot moments on film, or hot characters. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got the nice thing about this damsel in distress is there's no dragons. There's no castle that she's held up in. She just has the abusive douchebag boyfriend.
Sure.
That is her dragon, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also like a mobster nightclub owner sort of deal. He's got too many ear piercings. He just talks like an asshole. You know that guy.
You know what? Maybe he was just having a bad day.
No! No! Terrible.
Everybody has bad days, dude.
You know what? They do. And this guy has a continuous string of bad days.
Okay.
All of his days are bad. I feel like his name should be like Randy.
Yeah. What an asshole. Sorry for all the Randys out there.
So, what I meant was he should have a generic male name.
That's right. Like Hiram.
You know we're huge with Hirams. You idiot.
Sorry.
You idiot. So just this giant douchebag boyfriend. And she's this all-time beauty. And he does, he physically smacks her.
Ooh, no,
as
no.
Well.
Big
and that's
no,
the more like, no, this woman must be saved. And who's to come to the rescue? None other than The Mask. Not Son of the Mask.
Yo, God, no.
No. Please, no.
Never speak of that again.
Thank you. The Mask. So then you've got my favorite actor of the time, Jamie Kennedy.
Oh.
The Jamie Kennedy experiment.
That's right.
Jim Carrey tornadoing in with all of his somebody stop me goodness
mm-hmm.
to rescue an all-time beauty in Cameron Diaz.
Sure.
And she can sing mm-hmm. and she can dance.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but just enough. Just enough to be in a nightclub and look real good doing it.
Yep.
She is someone I would want to ride in on my horse or drive in on a car or come in a green tornado and save her from her douchebag Randy/Hiram boyfriend. So, Cameron Diaz from The Mask, you're my number three.
That's a good pick, man. That's a good pick. Wouldn't have thought of her. But she totally is a damsel in distress.
She is.
Because she's unmarried.
She is unwed, young lady,
mm-hmm.
and she's already proven that she cannot break away from Randy Hiram
mm-hmm.
without help of somebody else.
And pure as the driven snow.
Indeed.
That's right.
Indeed.
Yep. So my number three, you know what? I'm going to go with a little noir action.
Yes.
Yeah, a little forced noir, I guess.
That's not as good, but keep going.
Okay, Nancy Callahan from Sin City.
I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, there is not. I mean, sorry to cut you off. Please go ahead.
Oh, okay. Rewind. Nancy Callahan from Sin City. Yes, I thought about her because she fits the badass part of it, especially
yeah.
the scene where she's being held by that yellow bastard and he's whipping her and torturing her and just yeah. wanting her to scream and cry for help or whatever, and she just refuses to, and she starts berating him about how he can't get it up
yeah.
Without the woman crying. Like, I was like, yes, go Jessica Alba.
Plus, hottie.
I mean, let's not forget the exotic dancing part.
Woo.
Woo-hoo, boy.
The classic damsel in distress, as we mentioned, in the castle, you mm-hmm. know, that's your classic damsel.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite damsel is a film noir damsel.
Really?
Oh, it's my favorite, man.
Interesting.
Because it always starts the same exact way. It's the detective in his, the office.
Yeah.
With that, like, clouded glass with his name on it, and he's behind his big desk, and there's a smoking cigar/cigarette right there. It's like, never knew this day. Like walking through my door, and here she came.
And, Dame with a getaway sticks. I went up for days.
And then she's got the super red lips and the hat that covers her eyes. And then she looks up and says, "You gotta help me. You gotta help me, Johnny." You know, whatever it is. Like, that is my favorite setup.
Sure, sure.
That's my favorite setup, man.
That's right. She walks in and then, you know, she does that turn to the profile, lights a cigarette. Because she has to wait until she enters. It's like,
absolutely.
There's no smoking here. It's like, oh, well, I'm so sorry.
It's like I felt my heart go pitter-patter in a way it never had before.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And Sin City, obviously, is shot in that regard. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you watched Sin City?
Oh, God, like 10 years ago.
You know, me too. I was just talking with my brother-in-law. I was like, you know what? I would really like to watch Sin City 1 again.
Sure.
I will watch 2. But I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. I've heard it's not as good. But I really want to watch 1 again because I really dug that movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same here, man. I really liked it. Let it be said, I haven't read the graphic novels.
Me either.
So, but I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's and the fact that she's got basically a group of prostitutes / exotic dancers that are like kick-ass friends.
Pretty much the mafia.
Not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Not bad.
But she has to be rescued by... What's his name?
Mickey Rourke. I forget. Or is it Bruce Willis?
It's Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
As like Hardigan? Mad Mardigan?
Who does Mickey Rourke's character go save?
Another blonde.
Is it the same girl?
No, it's another blonde bombshell. I can't remember. But Bruce Willis saves her, and it's a super great scene, and she holds her own under torture, and that's why she made my list.
You know, let's have a movie date. Let's get the ladies together and let's watch some Sin City. It's in the book now.
Good, good, good. Let's get Jessica Alba.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that'll be my date.
Yep. Oh, damn it.
Sorry, dude. Fine. You know what? You bring Jessica Alba. I will time machine back to get Cameron Diaz from The Mask.
Fantastic.
I will bring her. Double date. Let's do it.
All right. Sounds good.
So it brings me to my number 2. I feel as if this young lady may make an appearance on your list as well.
Uh-oh.
But this young lady... Also, not too shabby on the eyes, if you will. And this is going to be Maggie Grace from the movie Taken.
Steve, you're going to hate me.
You've never seen Taken.
I've never seen Taken.
Ugh. I mean, it's... No, I was about to say it's more forgivable than True Lies. But it actually, in a way, it isn't. Because Taken is much more recent than True Lies.
I know.
What are you doing?
What do you want from me, Steve?
I want you to watch some damn movies. That's what I want you to do.
I could give you the same excuses that I always give.
I don't want excuses, Wes. I want results.
Okay.
I want change. That's what I want.
Steve, okay.
Add it to your list.
Okay. Of movies.
Right. Not your list of things I won't do.
Okay.
I want you to add to your list of movies I'm going to watch very soon.
Okay. Those lists, they are together, and I sometimes confuse
you
them.
You should separate them. Put things in the middle.
All right.
So,
good.
Taken, for those who don't know, you know, Jesus.
Oddly enough, I did think about Maggie Grace from Taken, because I know that she was taken.
Oh, yeah. Do you know? Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, give me a clue.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I want to say the movie title?
No. See, that was your first mistake.
Oh,
you
God.
Idiot.
She's actually given to Liam Neeson.
So, God, I'm so mad. I'm just so mad. Ugh.
But tell me why she made your number 2.
Why should I tell you? Why should I tell you these things?
Maybe this will spur me to watch it.
Okay, well, let's go through basically the beginning of the movie. This is not a spoiler. This is your exposition.
Okay,
Maggie Grace, who again, very attractive young lady. Mm-hmm. We're getting a little younger too. She's 18-ish or whatever.
Yeah, like 14. Yeah,
no, 18. Because okay. I think she's a senior in high school in this. Because she goes to take a trip over in Paris or whatever.
Sure.
So I'm looking at this from the vantage point of Liam Neeson, her father.
Mm-hmm.
Your damsel in distress. This is not a, you know, we're talking about Cameron Diaz and some of these other ladies being very, Jessica Alba being very, very attractive mm-hmm. and, you know, being an exotic dancer. This is not a sexual thing.
Sure.
This is the idea of your damsel in distress being your own daughter.
Okay.
So immediately, stakes are just about as high as they can get because mm-hmm. it is your child. Your child has been taken. Not only has she been taken, she has been sold into the sex slave game.
Oh.
So,
well, to be fair, the sex slave trade ring always hiring.
You know what? They're always accepting applications.
That's true.
They always are. Guess who doesn't want her to submit an application?
Can I guess? Is it Liam Neeson?
It is Liam Neeson.
Wow. All right.
It's Liam. He wants her to get a job at Target, be a barista.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, not what he wants.
At Ginkgo's.
Ginkgo Biloba's.
That's that's right.
That's so. The reason she's my damsel in distress is the idea of having your daughter in a position where you need to go and save her. And like, it's like when Jessica Alba's in trouble, you're like, man, you are super duper hot, and I would love to help you. Because who knows what might happen in the future with you and me. When it's your daughter, you're like, I'm going to kill anybody I need to kill. I'm going to do whatever the hell I need to do to save my... And I'm saying this, I don't even have children. I'm just presuming that's how I would handle such a situation. So stepping out of daddy's shoes just for a moment.
Okay.
And just talking about her as as a young Maggie Grace. She's also super duper hot. So if I'm the dad, I'm feeling great that I wanted to save my daughter. But if I'm Steve, and she's not my daughter, I'm like, whoa, we're resorting back to Jessica Alba territory. We're like, whoa, you're super duper hot. You're in some deep shit, and you are certainly not getting out of there without me. So I'll come to the rescue, and who knows what happens? Maybe I become buddies with Liam Neeson because I just saved you, and maybe you and I like hook up. And that'd be awesome. Baby, this is great. And if nothing else, I just saved you from the international sex trade, and I feel really good about myself.
So have sex with me.
So, I mean, even if she doesn't want to, that's cool. I did some good stuff.
Sure.
I killed a bunch of people. I saved Liam Neeson's daughter. I can probably walk the red carpet somewhere with Liam on a new movie. It's going to be cool.
Sure, sure. I love how now the audience can just infer that. If the chick is ugly...
Good luck. Hey, best. You know what? Find like Mario. Like Mario loves saving women. Well, specifically one woman, but that's okay. I'm sure, he's always accepting applications too. God. There you go, Wes. Go watch Taken, you son of a bitch.
All right. Well, I really want to see it now.
You should.
Should.
God.
Oh, okay. Well, my number two. Man, we are just right next to each other in life and in our lists. My number two, and we don't need to spend too much time on it because this is something we've talked about so many times. My number two is Ellie from The Last of Us. She is a damsel just about to blossom into adulthood. And speaking of like being a daughter figure.
Sure.
I just wanted to mention that because there's multiple times. By multiple, I mean twice. She's taken by a group, and we as Joel, need to come rescue her. And Ellie, of course, for being like, what, a 14-year-old, 15-year-old?
Yeah, something like that.
She is a badass in her own right.
Absolutely.
So, super strong character, a badass for being slightly younger, and a great daughter figure to boot. And that's why she made my number two.
Yeah, I thought about Ellie as well, and part of me, again, I didn't want to put her in damsel category.
I know.
She's definitely in distress several times, but...
When you think damsel, you think of, you know, someone over 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think of a beautiful young woman sort of deal. And not that she's an unattractive woman or anything, but she's so... You know, it's such a, you know, father-daughter type relationship in there that you don't see her in any other way. And, like, I don't know. A damsel seems kind of like fair and like pretty, the long blonde hair as we mentioned before.
Sure, sure.
And of course, you're in the zombie apocalypse essentially. So she's dirty. She's kind of grimy. You know, just because the environment you're in. So she is, but for me, like she isn't.
I know,
she's
I
right
know.
There.
And as soon as we started this list, I was just thinking like, man, I think Ellie is just too young.
Yeah, yeah, there's, yeah. Yeah.
If I could go back in time, Steve. The only thing I would change is my number two on this list.
Is meeting you. Well, that brings me to my number one, Wes.
Oh, boy.
and we are going to go with a film noir setup, man.
Okay, lay it on me.
Well, I'm going to lay it on you.
Okay.
Here it comes.
Could you quit laying on me, by the way?
Is that not what you asked for?
Oh, boy.
I will be taking the role of Mr. Bob Hoskins as Jessica Rabbit strolls through that door.
Oh, high five, my friend. I didn't even think about that.
Yes. Now, she is not necessary. This teeters the line a little bit because right off the bat, she is not really in distress in the way that the impending danger is on her.
Mm-hmm.
It's for her husband, Roger Rabbit. But that quickly changes.
Mm-hmm.
But again, talking about that classic film noir setup, Bob Hoskins there with the big desk and the smoke and the fuzzed out window, and she strolls in and in just the most impossible beauty, one that cannot be actually attained by a human woman,
mm-hmm.
only by an animated creature that is Jessica Rabbit. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a great pick.
Huh. And you know what? This is not to like knock boots, if you will, with Jessica Rabbit, because she is so hopelessly in love with her husband, Roger Rabbit.
You know what? She's just into bestiality.
She loves it. Can't get enough of it. Roger Rabbit, sexual beast.
That's what I'm saying.
But she's just to be a part of that world,
mm-hmm.
would be awesome. Going between the cartoon world and back into reality, and to see essentially, quote unquote, a real life Jessica Rabbit walking mm-hmm. up to me, be like, oh my God. Honestly, if Jessica Rabbit walked up to me currently and asked me to do anything, I would probably just do it.
Well, yeah, but you say that. Okay, we're talking like, when you say real life version, are you talking about Jessica Rabbit transposed?
No. I'm talking
bit
about
by bit into real life.
No.
Because she'd be a monster in real life.
No. I'm talking about when I say real life, meaning in my real life, that I sit here and then animated Jessica Rabbit walks in, but still animated Jessica Rabbit if I'm in that film.
Yeah,
she is. You know, she's going to be, you know, eye level with, you know, like my height. It's not like this little drawing walks in like you know, like someone with a flip book walks in.
Sure.
Yeah, it's going to look animated, and but still, I'm putting myself in that world where an animated woman walks in.
Just want to make sure, like,
yeah,
that, still animated, not like a real life person an inch round waist.
No, they're that. Have you seen the women that try to become Jessica Rabbit?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's horrifying.
Yeah, I can just imagine.
It is horrifying.
Yeah, terrible.
Oh, God, ladies that like to do the cosplay of Jessica Rabbit, cool, man.
All about it.
Keep it up. Not a problem.
Because we certainly will. Heyo.
Whoa. The women that get plastic surgery and stuff to look like a Barbie doll like Jessica Rabbit in real life.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Awful.
Mutants. Gross mutants. But anyway, man, I'm taking the best of both worlds. I'm taking my film noir setup that I love, and I'm also taking the most impossibly gorgeous woman that can never exist and putting them in the same world.
Well, my number one made my number one because she is just a classic damsel in distress. Because she is in distress multiple times throughout this 3-film series. But she is super strong-willed and a super strong character. I'm talking Princess Leia from Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
The first time we meet her. She is, well, not the first time. But what in the first movie, she needs to be rescued by Luke and Han Solo.
Yes.
And when she's rescued, when she is rescued, they get pinned down. What does Leia do? She grabs a gun from somebody and shoots them away out.
Yeah.
That's the kind of damsel in distress I love seeing.
Okay. Okay.
And then, of course, you get the more classic version of damsel in distress in the third movie when she's in Jabba's, quote-unquote, tower.
Yeah.
By that I mean spaceship. But they swoop in and save her then. But even then, by the end of the movie, she's like taking down stormtroopers, back when she has her clothes on.
In a less good time.
Yes.
Let's just take one moment and let's reflect fondly on the slave outfit for Leia. That's good stuff.
That was great, man.
That is good stuff.
God.
There's a reason that that is one of the men's most desired cosplays or just costumes in general.
Mm-hmm.
That is super duper hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Man.
She's a super strong character. Yes. Nerves of steel.
Chase.
Balls of steel. Not literally.
Oh, thank God. No. What a different movie.
And Carrie Fisher at that time, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So that's why she made my number one.
So you appreciate the... I feel like you want a damsel in distress that when you go and get there, you don't have to do all the heavy lifting.
Exactly. Like, yes, I'll free you, but then can you please stop whining and just
shoot
people? Because, like, I didn't want to pick someone like What's-Her-Face from Indiana Jones and Marian. The Temple of Doom.
Marion?
No, the Temple of Doom.
Oh, Temple of... Oh,
that woman's always in distress, oh. And she's always bitching.
No. To be honest, nobody ever wants to spend any time with her, ever.
And nobody wants... I don't want a damsel in distress like Peach, who just keeps constantly getting taken.
Peach is the worst. I'm so glad neither of us said Peach.
Yeah.
Peach is a goddamn idiot.
Would you stop flaunting yourself in front of Bowser?
Seriously. How many times... Does it take before you understand this dude is just going to grab you and put you in a goddamn castle and our poor Italian plumber is going to have to come and rescue you again?
Exactly.
What is... Honestly, if I were Mario, I would have quit long ago. It's like, long ago.
After the third or fourth time, it's like, you know what? You're on your own.
Seriously, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Call Luigi. Jesus. Let someone else do this. We're done.
Exactly.
God. The princess isn't here. She's in a different castle. Why am I here then? Why? Bitch. God, she left me a note. Said she'd be in this 1-1 castle.
Yeah.
And now I have to get to 8-12. God.
You know, another character that I thought about is, I think her name's like something Darrow, like Ann Darrow from King Kong or something like that. But like, she doesn't really have a character. She's
just thought about it and you don't even know her name?
Yeah, the woman from King Kong.
Yes.
But she doesn't really have a character. She just is about to be sacrificed and King Kong, she's apparently so pretty that King Kong sets her free or whatever. It's like, yeah, she's an ultimate damsel in distress, but she doesn't do anything. She just gets carried around by a big monkey.
Yeah, but yes, you're right. But also, I'm not going to say she like learns to love the ape, that sort of deal. But she does kind of see the gentler side of King Kong at some point.
Great.
I'm glad she didn't make our list either. I'm just saying.
I couldn't be less excited.
I think the top five that I put together is much better than our young lady from King Kong. And my top five, again, is going to be Jamie Lee Curtis from True Lies, Evie from The Mummy, Cameron Diaz from The Mask, Maggie Grace from the movie Taken, and number one, without a doubt, Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's a good one, man. My number five is Princess Buttercup from The Princess Bride. My number four is Madalena / Princess Isabella Maria Lucia Elisabetta Valencia from Gallivant. My number three is Nancy Callahan from Sin City. My number two is Ellie from The Last of Us. And my number one with a bullet is Princess Leia from the original Star Wars trilogy.
Neither of us made a Vidja game. Damsel in Distress.
Ellie from The Last of Us.
Nah, I just lied to everybody.
Today is opposite day.
Johnny! I hate you!
Guys, as always, we can't say it enough. We love hearing what you guys have to say. So please write in your top fives for damsels in distress. Please write in any top fives that you'd like us to do in the future. You can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveplay.net. No, wait. Hold on. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com.
And last week we did a top five listener-submitted questions. And it was a lot of fun. So if you have any more questions that we can answer next week or, you know, any top fives you want us to do in the future, please, as Wes said, we love to hear from you guys. So keep writing them in. It is a great pleasure to read them.
Mm-hmm. Keep on trucking as well.
And most importantly, keep on trucking. For just so you know, Wes and I, our CB handles are Captain Honky Tonk
and Stroker 717.
No.
Yep.
No.
Look me up, kids.
Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out.